So hi, everybody, and welcome. I'm so excited to have so many of you here today for our special bonus call for Body Balance Unannounced. And I had, you know, been listening to you guys during the kickoff calls and hearing your stories and really feeling into the stories. And like one of the things I felt was it's so much we all have in common is, you know, old things that have happened to us in the past that seem to be continuing to affect us on a tissue level. And so of all the people that I know, the person that is best suited to talk about these and address these types of things is Laura. And today's topic is all about subconscious things that interfere with our physical and mental and emotional as well healing. So let me tell you a little bit about Laura. Laura Fine. I've known Laura for probably, 7 or 8 years now. And we met very crazily in a way. We were in this group and they were having a conference and we said, I said, I'm looking for a roommate. She said, so am I. We'd never met before. She said, I'm coming in at this time. Oh, great. I have a car. I'll pick you up and we'll go. And we roomed and we became like, you know, fast friends. And I had invited her to, I said, oh, I wish it was, you know, I would have known you sooner. I would have invited you to speak at my event that's happening next month because I think this message is really something my practitioners would love to hear. And she said, well, tell me more. And she goes, okay, I can do it. I'm like, great. So 3 weeks before the event, I added Laura to the agenda. She came in and did a great job of really helping to provide. She does two things. She helps to provide practitioners with tools to help people that they're working with to heal from these old emotional blocks and energetic blocks that are keeping you from healing. But she works with people one-on-one. And I've had the direct experience with her working with people I know, with people that I love and trust, and that she has helped them get through some blocks that have been there for a long time. Some of it is old beliefs that we had about ourselves, not good enough, always going to be fat, whatever, 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 that well-meaning, but not very well educated sometimes adults pass on to us as little ones. And some of them are physical trauma. Some of it is abuse. Some of it is car accidents and injuries. And there's so many of those things that we may be able to physically seem to get over, but they're locked in our bodies. And Laura has this amazing knack for helping you to identify some of those things and to improve and break through some of those blocks. So I just thought I would bring her in. She's, you know, trained as a licensed marriage and family counselor. She's got that. She's got a psychology degree. She's studied with Barbara Brennan and all the energy work. So she's like beautifully combined this into a process that we're going to be releasing the name of soon, but it's actually subconscious cellular healing. You know, how do you heal on a cellular level by removing these levels? And this came to us when she was speaking at our Shine event last year, and she started talking about the layers of the subconscious and how these different things that are buried in the subconscious come out and bite us in the butt, basically, when we least expect it and don't want it. So we're here today. We're going to make this as interactive as possible. Laura does have a PowerPoint presentation to share some of these concepts and will help me to welcome Laura Fine.
Thank you so much, Rita Marie. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And it's always such a pleasure and honor to work with you and do anything with you because it's so exciting with all the cutting edge stuff that you bring together. So I'm honored to be here. There's so much. I have such a passion about this work because the subconscious cellular healing piece brings us so quickly and immediately to the core root of our issues and has a tremendous impact on our physiological health. So before I launch in, I would love to just hear really briefly from each of you. I understand that you're here to work on your own healing, and I'd love to know maybe just for a brief moment from you individually, what are you working on in your own healing? If you feel comfortable sharing that, I'd love to hear. If we could just go around quickly and I could gather some information, that would be great. So Diana, would you like to start us out?
And I'm just going to intercede here. And quickly is key, right? Because we've gone through the big, just like what's one thing that you really want to be working on and getting some healing around so that has this sense of how she's working with it.
Yeah, chronic health stuff.
Yes. Right. So Diana, go for it.
quickly. 7 years ago, I lost my first child. She was 36 years old, left three children. This was just the latest in a series of many, many great losses from earlier. So that, anyway, that's affected me. It took 1 year and my health completely deteriorated. So I'm trying to fix that and continue on.
Thank you for sharing that, Diana. I really feel the, you know, the challenge of healing loss, and it's definitely doable. So thank you. Okay, Lisa.
I would have to say also healing loss. And my chronic health things include thyroid and digestive issues.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Okay, Tammy.
I suspect there are some energetic reasons that some things I'm holding on to, and I am thriving and healing from breast cancer.
Mm. Okay. I love that you're thriving and healing from it. Good for you. And you're in good hands with this program, Rita Marie. That's great. Okay. Muse, Marcia.
Panic attacks.
Okay. Thank you. Kathleen. You're on mute still.
Oops.
There we go. Sorry about that. Yeah, my big goal is really to balance my blood sugar. I was diagnosed with diabetes more than 20 years ago and totally had it balanced without medication for a very long time until I had a spinal cord injury 3.5 years ago. And it has been out of balance ever since then. And I'm not going to pretend that there aren't some emotional issues contributing to that. But
yeah. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it, how we can make those connections and you just instinctively sort of know it yourself. Thank you. Cindy.
Hi. Body image, negative self-talk, constantly comparing myself to other people, and then physically building a stronger immune system.
Okay. Thanks, Cindy. All right. Sarah.
Hi. Mine are injuries that are either very old and they sometimes I think they're healed and then they will recur. So I, you know, for no physical reason. Mm-hmm. So, such as my right knee and a frozen shoulder and that kind of physical pain stuff.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Physical pain. Yeah, got it. Okay, let's hop over to Karmjeet.
Okay, I'm going to try unmuting. I'll unmute everybody. Go for it.
Hi. Thank you. So for me, a number of issues, but the main one would be Lyme disease and brain atrophy. Some parts of the brain are not shutting down. Some are not coming on. Line, so and also anxiety and body-wide inflammation.
Okay, thank you, Karmjeet.
Thank you.
Beautiful. All right, Beverly, we can't see you, but maybe we can hear you.
Yes, hi. Sorry, I joined late. I'm not sure exactly what the question is.
We'll come back to you so you can just kind of tune in. We'll just ask people what their chronic healing issues are that they're trying to work on very briefly.
Okay.
We'll come back to you so you can think about it for a minute. Sue Ann, are you able to?
It's not unmuting for me. Oh, there we go.
I was unmuted, sorry. Well, I have a very immediate problem. I had knee replacement surgery 3 weeks ago, and I'm having a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I have to have the other knee done, and I remember when a hip surgery went bad and how much trauma was involved there. So there is already some trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to deal with.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, definitely energy healing work can help with that. And I would love to see, where are you? What part of the world are you?
I'm in North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Yeah, so there are some healers. You know, hands-on healing can really help with pain a lot.
Excellent.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Chrissia. Am I saying that right, Chrisla? Chrissia?
Yeah, I hear.
Okay.
I guess years of abuse from the men in my life, starting in childhood, and then all the husbands and partners, which caused my health to crash, and years of fibromyalgia and pain, and I wake up every morning feeling sick, just not well, low energy.
Yeah.
I'd really like to get over that. There's no reason for me not to be well now. Really no reason.
Okay. All right, Chrisla, thank you for sharing that. Lynn, anything you want to toss into the pot while we're hopping around here?
Sure. I'm dealing, I don't even like saying that word. I'm recognizing issues of self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're not alone. Okay, Janine.
I can relate with everybody. I have, my mother just passed, so that's the recent energy block I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I suffer from chronic health issues and mental physical abuse.
Okay. Thank you, Janine. Okay, Vanessa.
Hi. I don't know consciously what I'm dealing with because it feels like a...
Whoops. Hang on.
Lost you for a moment there.
Ah, you got muted. Go ahead and try to unmute yourself. You suddenly got muted and I can't.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. Yes. I'm at a restaurant. It feels like my issues emotionally have come up.
Oh, disappeared again. Let's come back to Vanessa in a minute. Catherine.
You're, try unmuting yourself and leaving yourself unmuted for a little bit because it keeps muting you in the middle of you speaking.
I'm not muting it, so I don't know. Let's see if this works.
Accidentally
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can.
Okay. So what I was saying is I feel like a lot of my emotional stuff has shown up since getting sick. I had a massive adrenal crash 2.5 years ago. Have had weight gain, cannot sleep, and insulin issues since. But don't know thoroughly what contributed to me heading that way. I have ideas, but I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. All right, Catherine.
It's Catherine.
Catherine Logan. All right, maybe we'll come back to Catherine. LC iPhone. Don't know who that is, okay. Jay.
So, yeah, my main situation is about 3 months ago, I had a sudden loss of vision in my right eye, some of which has come back a bit. An MRI showed that I had suffered a stroke at some point in the past, not recently, not concurrently with the loss of vision, but some time ago. I'm suspecting probably several years ago. So that's the main thing I'm dealing with now.
Yeah.
It's adapting to that. My vision in my left eye is really good. Back in August, I had cataract surgery, so at least I got those lenses replaced.
Great.
Which I'm really happy about.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thank you, Jay. All right, let's hop back up to Beverly and see if we can catch you now.
Okay, thank you. I think my main issues I want to work on are it's emotional eating, I guess, staying away from emotional eating, and I have anxiety and dealing with a divorce, maybe midlife crisis type thing, and it's just not letting me stick to the healthy eating plan and lifestyle changes that I want to make. I keep sabotaging myself.
Okay. There are reasons for that, and it's not because you're, you know, a weak person or anything like that. I'm going to talk about all of that really soon. Thank you, Beverly.
Okay.
Vaughn. Have we got you here, Vaughn?
Vaughn, right, talk, but Vaughn said early childhood and sexual physical abuse as a child.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vaughn. All right. Elizabeth. Do we have you, Elizabeth? Okay, we'll go to Rose.
Hi. I'm working on insulin resistance and blood sugars. I'm also working on fear. I have a next door neighbor that I'm afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep.
Okay, thank you, Rose. All right, and let's go to Steve.
There's Steve.
It's Monica.
Oh, it's Monica. All right, Monica, aka Steve. All right, Monica.
I'm working on loss, chronic conditions, depression, anxiety, GI issues, insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Lots
okay. of All right. Thank you, Monica. All right. Wendy.
Wendy can't talk. She said blood sugar.
Okay, great. And Hannah Ora.
Hannah Ora. I had to practice saying her name for before I could get it right. Hannah Ora. I need her. There she is.
I have a whole list of trauma from starting in utero, really. Physical trauma and emotional trauma. And I think a lot of it's still operative in my body despite a lot of therapy. And so my symptoms are chronic neck pain, migraines, emotional eating, fatigue, can't sleep, you know, just a lot of stuff that other people are talking about.
Thanks, Hannah Ora. Nice to see you. David.
Hi. I'm dealing with energy issues derived from hypothyroid. Been on thyroid medicine, currently natural, for the last 10 years, but still have the energy issues associated with it. Mm-hmm. And then probably gut issues going back decades from too much antibiotics.
Mm, okay, thank you for that. Did I miss anybody?
I'm looking to see. What we got Wendy, Vaughn couldn't talk, Vanessa, we got Tammy, Sue Ann, Sarah, Muse. If anybody, we haven't called your name.
Can you talk to Claudia? Because I know she said something on the chat.
Where's Claudia? Claudia, you want to unmute Claudia? There you go, Claudia. I unmuted you, Claudia.
I can't talk right now. That's what I put in the chat.
That's what I put in the chat. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not what... Okay.
All no, right. I just didn't know if you'd talk to her. She said, my issue is feeling alone, have been single for 19 years, and often feel lonely and missing deep emotional and physical connection that goes beyond friendships.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Catherine Logan said, have had persistent pain and chronic fatigue for years and have always approached it on the physical level until this past year. I have been delving into my emotional and spiritual aspects as well. Cranial, sacral, and meditation have been a godsend.
Good. Wow. Okay, so let's take a deep breath, everybody. Just take a really deep breath. That was a lot to share and a lot to hear, and I'm so touched by your personal vulnerable openness and willingness. And it's also in some odd way can be a little bit comforting to know you're not alone, that there are other people who are sharing similar challenges. And also we're here to cheerlead each other and to discover that there are ways out of these patterns. And that's really, really hopeful, because there's nothing that anybody shared here today that I can't tell you that I haven't heard before and have seen terrific progress happen as a result of a lot of the work that Rita Marie is doing and that we're doing through subconscious cellular healing. So you have every reason to be hopeful and to be breathing deeply and to just kind of let this roll through you as you tune into what we're going to talk about today. So I want to get us right to the slideshow, and then we'll have time for Q&A and to discuss some things afterwards and after we go through all of this. So I'm going to do a screen share here. Can you enable me for the screen share, Rita Marie?
So there's some new feature that it used to allow everybody to do screen share that nobody can anymore. So let me see if I can find you and make you a co-host.
Okay.
Okay. Now you're buried in there. Before you were right at the top. Laura, there you go. And I'm going to go more. Make a co-host.
Great.
All right, there you go.
Okay, here we go. And let me move this over so I can start our slideshow. Okay, so we're going to talk about how subconscious patterns can block your healing and the way out. Isn't that good to know that there are ways out of these patterns? So our goal here is to recognize, first of all, to recognize when you're in a subconscious defense pattern. And these patterns have physiological components to them. So it's not just emotional, it's emotional, it's psychological, and it's physiological. We are holistic, we are one being. And that there is a way to shift out of pattern, out of these learned energy patterns, and back into present time. We get stuck in patterns that were learned from our past history. And once we start to recognize what those patterns are, there are ways that we can begin to shift out of them. So what is a subconscious energy pattern? It's an automatic, body-based survival reaction in response to feeling unsafe. And it's a reaction that is not relevant to our present situation. So this is when you might hear yourself saying things like, gee, I know better, or I should have known better, or I know I should or should not have done this, but I did it anyway. Our logical mind understands how we want to react, but our whole physiology is geared to have a different reaction. That's where we do things like emotional eating or self-sabotage or self-criticism. Okay, so what do you do when you get triggered? Do you withdraw? Do you go on the attack? Do you get over-apologetic? Do you make excuses? Do you become arrogant? Do you become manipulative? What's your go-to? And I'd love you to do some sharing in the chat while I'm talking about this. What comes to mind? What do you do when you get triggered or defensive or reactive in a situation? Okay, so what's your go-to? So what is a survival pattern? Survival patterns are created due to developmental lack or overwhelm. So when I say developmental, that means that at a certain age growing up, when you were an infant, when you were first born, when you were newborn, maybe even when you were in the womb or during your birth, there might have been a birth trauma, or in infancy or in toddlerhood, there are different dependency needs that are absolutely essential for us to survive, let alone thrive. And so when some of those needs are not met, or when we are overwhelmed by drama or trauma in some way, then our physiology will disassociate to regulate. It will disassociate in order to regulate overwhelm. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant at doing that. And I'm going to talk about how we do that in a minute. But it's brilliant at doing that. But the problem is when we become adults, that disassociation isn't serving us anymore. It was absolutely essential in our childhood growing up, but now it's absolutely limiting us. So what happens when it limits us in present time is we disconnect from the present time emotion or the present time circumstances. We're reacting historically the way we were neurologically patterned to survive from our childhood. Most of this is all subconscious for us. tension adaptation created attention adaptation created in our physical energy body. So when we had a trauma or when we had a lack or when we had an overwhelm, it created a certain tension in our physical body, in our energy body, that overwhelmed us, that imprinted in our system. And so because of that, we got stuck, or you could say there was an incompleteness in a developmental growth stage. So if we are left alone when this little girl desperately needs a hug, and if we weren't given that hug often enough, then we get stuck in this stage, developmental stage, or she's probably about 2, 2.5. So then when we feel needy, when we feel needy as an adult, then we don't know how to ask for support. We don't know how to reach out because we were never reflected or provided that experience of nurturance that we so desperately needed. So survival patterns are based upon the flow of energy that's happening within our system. And there are 5 ways that we direct our energy when we're in a defense or when we're triggered. We either move our energy away from others. So those of you who are reclusive, who don't like to be socially engaged with people, when you feel easily drained by the company of others, or when you tend to avoid confrontation, you're moving away. You're taking your energy and you're moving away from others. And this is how you learned how to survive, how to adapt when you were very, very young. And so we might find ourselves doing that as adults. If you don't like parties, you like to maybe have company of one other significant person, and you're not a very perhaps social person. So you have a tendency to move away from others. You might be a person who moves toward others in a more of a merging way. Like you really like to bond with people one-on-one or maybe in groups, but you, when you get triggered, your survival pattern is to move toward, to merge with someone else. Another way you might move your energy is in and down. When you get upset or angry, you squash, you repress, you direct everything in. You stew, and then you explode, all right? So you pull your energy in, and you pull it down, and you might, you know, be someone who's, you know, containing until you just have to burst to release it. You might be a person who moves your energy up and out, and this picture right here depicts that. This is a person who moves their energy up and out. When they get charged or triggered, they go into attack mode, and they discharge onto someone else. Or you might tighten your energy and constrict everything in, that you're a person who just withdraws and pulls everything in to find the right way, the right rules to do something. So these are the 5 generic ways that we move our energy or our energy flows when we're in defense or when we're triggered. So there are 5 primary personality patterns. And this work is based on something called character structures. Let's go back to that. We leave, right? This is the person who moves away. They leave their body. They go out, usually out one side of the head or out of the crown chakra energy center. Oftentimes, because of that, there will be dyslexia, things like dyslexia problems, things like spinal curvature of the spine, things like that, because we just tweak and we leave our physical body because it wasn't safe to be in it. There might have been neglect in our early, this is usually related to a very, very early infancy developmental stage, because what can an infant do to defend itself? Only one thing, shut down or leave, energetically go out. So go to sleep, shut down, go to sleep, or leave the body. If the body is not safe, it will leave the body so that it won't feel. So some of my clients also talk about feeling numb, feeling disconnected from themselves, not even being able to feel their own body. So this is the leaving pattern where we move away. The merging pattern is where we move toward, and this usually happens at a little bit older developmental stage, like around 9 months to 2 years. And this is where four to nine months. This is a little bit younger still. So we're not an infant so much anymore. but we're still a completely dependent baby. And where this is the stage where the baby needs to merge, there's no such thing as a baby by itself. There's only a baby mother or baby caretaker, because that baby is still 100% dependent, and there's tremendous amount of need for emotional merging. This is the stage where the mother looks at the baby and goes, oh, you're so sweet, and does a lot of mirroring back right in the baby's face, and the baby gets to know its sense of self and bonds and merges with the mother. When that doesn't get happen, or when that gets disrupted, there's this terrible feeling of like the energy cords needing to latch into something that isn't there. And so we take that need as an adult, and we form, guess what, codependent relationships. So those of you who have said abuse of relationships as adults with men or with significant others or with partners, whatever your sexual orientation is, there was a lack of ability to be met in that merging process. And so we gravitate toward not knowing how to have an individuated, healthy adult relationship, because we're still trying to latch in and get that need filled. And so we struggle with boundaries and not really knowing what's healthy for us. Then we move in and down. This is the what's called the enduring pattern. And all of these things are reflected in our physiology. They have patterns in our physiology. So when the energy moves in and down, there's a compression that happens. And these are oftentimes short-necked people, kind of stocky, because the energy is sent down toward the earth. And this developmental stage is around 9 months to 2 years. And this is what we call the terrible twos, where the child developmentally is really needing to learn how to express his or her own sense of self. And when that gets suffocated or overly controlled, then a resentment, a holding in happens. And that this is a person who becomes extremely sensitive to other people's needs, but really can't sense themselves at all. And then we go a little bit older now to about 2 to 4 years old. Developmentally, this is the child that never got appropriate support and trust in his or her own ability to express himself or herself. In that first stage of individuation, that first stage of expression, he or she was betrayed in some way, where they most needed support, they were neglected or criticized. And so what happens is that this person learns how to, in order to get their needs met, they're really on their own at a way too early developmental stage. So these people become leaders, but they leaders who have a tendency to go on the attack because they don't trust that anybody else will really be there for them. And then the last developmental stage happens from usually about 4 to 7, but also there's a corresponding developmental stage in puberty where our needs were, where we were not reflected in who our essential creative expressive self was. And so to get approval, to get recognition, we had to simply do whatever was right and appropriate. And so we learn how to follow the rules and constrict our own sense of self-expression. So take a deep breath, because something might be touching you right now that you could relate to from this very brief sort of synopsis. So here's the good news. Your pattern is what you learned, and it's what you do. It's what you learned how to do to cope with your set of survival circumstances, and it is not who you are. In childhood, somebody else must regulate the charge in our body, and somebody else does regulate the charge in our body to a varying degrees of, you could say, healthy expression for us, or healthy guidance or modeling for us. But as adults, the ability to learn the skills to regulate the charge in our own body is now possible for us. The skills that we didn't get in childhood now become our right and our responsibility to develop them and to learn that we can, in fact, regulate the charge in our body and express and find those things that we need to be healthy in our lives. I love this slide. I love these images because primary feelings don't age. Babies have no buffers, but adults can learn buffers. So the same feeling of shock and what to do, confusion that happened here as a very young baby is the same feeling that this adult man has, right? And you can see the similarity, right? So this is this guy at this age, right? Same emotional feeling that we have here, we had here. Same here. This is bewilderment, this confusion, same confusion that we have programmed in still stays with us as adults. Same joyful glee. When this little boy got a new toy, red toy truck, this man got his new grown-up big red truck, he was just as happy. All right, it's the same emotional feelings. Emotions don't age. Primary emotions don't age. Okay, so let's look at what we do. The first survival pattern, the leaving pattern, look at the eyes of this baby. This baby is not home, right? His need was to feel safe in his body. And he didn't. He didn't get that feeling of safety. He might have been hit. He might have been beaten. He might have been yelled at. He might have just been hearing yelling in the other room. There might have been an alcoholic family member. You know, there might have been who knows what. But this baby learned how to leave his body. So it can look like this as an adult. You know, you might be talking to somebody, having a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden as you're standing there, you realize you didn't hear a word they said. Anybody do that? Anybody relate to that? You don't remember a word they said, you couldn't, for the life of you, you know, you're the person who forgets your keys when you're sitting in your car and you go, oh, I don't have my car keys. Or you're driving home and you go, how on earth did I get here? We blank out. So if you do a lot of spacing out and blanking out, you probably had this leaving survival pattern growing up. But the good news is there's a gift. It comes from that leaving. You go out of your body, and where do you go? You go up into these heavenly spiritual realms where you're really extremely creative, where you're very spiritual. You might be really psychic. You might be really intuitive. You might be really creative. You're probably artistic. So there's a gift. The good news is there's a gift inherent in each of these wounds. The next one is, in this merging survival pattern, the need was for physical and emotional nourishment, you know, and you needed that. You needed to merge to feel fulfilled. But as an adult, when you didn't get that, you can see how she's really feeling this neediness, right? And what does it evoke in a lot of people when you have this feeling of emotional need is repulsion. How many of you have a friend who just pulls at you and you just feel like, oh, get me away. I can't stand it. They're pulling at me. Right? And this is this emotional neediness that shows up. Well, the gift inherent in that is we know just what it means to be nourishing to others. In fact, many of us who are in these helping professions, who are service workers, who are practitioners, coaches, healers, nurses, doctors, chiropractors, therapists, we have this gift for nourishing others because we know what it feels like to feel so much need. We have tremendous empathy. Okay, the next pattern is called the endure survival pattern. And the endurer needed to individuate, to have the right to express himself or herself. And he or she was really compromised, really suppressed. Usually there's a very dominating parent, a very controlling parent. The parent who says, you like those peas, eat them all. We might have been forced to eat when we weren't hungry. We might have been forced to, I had a client whose mother picked out all her clothes all the way through, believe it or not, her teenage years. The poor woman was just humiliated by the fact that her mother forced her to wear only what she approved of her purchasing. So guess what she did? And her gift in this was she became a seamstress. The only place she was allowed to wear what she wanted was when she made her own clothes. So she became this really gifted seamstress because that was the gift that was born out of this over-controlling parental wounding for her. And the gift is also a grounded, enduring strength. They can have tremendous tolerance for adversity, for tremendous patience with other people because they learned how to endure. Okay, the next pattern is called the aggressive survival pattern. And the need was to be able to trust. There was an abandonment or a betrayal by a parent when they were mostly in need of support and they had to go it alone. So they were dominated, and out of that comes this terrific rage, this real anger of betrayal, around betrayal and abandonment. And so what do? They become the bully on the playground, and then they become the bully CEO. And they like to dominate others. But the gift of that is there's a fearlessness. There's a fearlessness and a leadership that evolves out of that aggressiveness. And they will be a fearless and spontaneous and creative. And they are also loyal to, like, loyal. If you're on their team, they will protect and defend and take care of you till the till doomsday. They're just amazing in that way. And then the last survival pattern is called the rigid survival pattern, where they learned how to mistrust themselves. They were not taught to trust their own spontaneous impulses, their own creative expression. They had to constrict it because they were taught only to do what was appropriate and to follow the rules and to be rigid. And so you can see how constricted this young man is already in his little suit, and how she was already taught how to get approval meant to do the rules of the beauty pageant and to constrict her own spontaneous energy. So we grew up to be adults, and these also often can become very good leaders. They're very competitive. There because they will just tell me the rules and I'll do it. And there's a gift inherent in this, which is a love of perfection. These are the people who are terrific guides, who love beauty, who love the expression of beauty. Okay, so why am I still stuck? Well, you know, all of these things that you all shared here when we started out, you know, cancer, panic attacks, blood sugar problems, body image, negative self-talk, brain atrophy, you know, pain, physical pain, emotional pain. You know, until we heal the lack of the core trauma in the energy body, we will continue to react in survival pattern when overwhelmed. It's because there's a developmental piece that's still missing for us, that we're trying to find it. And this is not, you know, what I'm teaching here is not too much in the mainstream yet. And that's part of the dilemma, is how on earth do we find this missing piece? So we have to feel the energy that we were told is too dangerous to feel in order to heal it. So we have to use the adult mind to reassure our inner child that it's actually safe to feel some of these locked up sensations now. So the habitual practice of your survival pattern cultivated skills that foster their own set of gifts. That's the good news. So our goal is to claim your body as a reference point and refuge from the stresses of daily life, to tolerate distress without fragmenting, merging, suppressing, attacking, or constricting. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to actually do a little experience of it in just a minute. But we have this subconscious reactive pattern that's sitting on this side of our teeter-totter. And then we have this objective observer part of ourselves that can look at this and go, oh, look at me, I'm in a reaction. Look at me, I'm having a panic attack. Look at me, I'm on the attack with my poor coworker or my husband or my kids. So we have an ability to objectively observe our own behavior, even if we don't like it. And we also have an inner wise man, an inner wise woman. We have this inner wisdom inherent in ourselves, but many of us have not even been introduced to that inner wise man or woman. So we're going to take a minute, in just a minute, and meet that inner wise woman or man. So our survival pattern distorts your survival pattern distorts your perceptions and your experience of reality, limiting your potential. So it distorts your perceptions. So, for example, if you come to someone and you say, "Hey, I really want to help you out with how you did this project because you kind of screwed something up," and we might perceive that feedback as a terrible insult and attack. And the person who's offering it is just trying to help, but we have a distorted perception that you just said something really insulting and nasty to me. So we all come to every interaction with our own set of distorted beliefs. This is especially shows up in our significant other relationships. Like, so, for example, when you say to your partner or your significant other, I really love the dinner you made the other night. It was just so tasty. And then your partner says, "Oh, so you can't stand the one I made you tonight?" Right? So we impose or we distort our, and, you know, all they're trying to do is maybe give you a compliment, and all of a sudden it's flipped around. And we're in our pattern, right? So your response is dictated by your pattern, and it takes you out of the present time where you now have better options. So we distort, we miss, or we project onto someone else what their motivation might be when it really may be something completely different. Okay, so we're going to do this too in just a minute. So how do we get out of this? So we first have to connect to the defensive feeling in our body. Then we're going to stand with bent knees and let our body shake, sound, and vibrate. And I'm going to talk you through that in just a minute. So before we do that, any questions? So if there are no questions, then what I'd like to do then is take us into a little experience. So I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths and just close your eyes. And I ask you to think about, you might be aware of right now, some of what you do when you are in a reactive mode. If you go into overwhelm, if you shut down, if you go into panic, if you withdraw, if you constrict, if you go on the attack, you know, you might be aware of what you do. So with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you just to trust whatever comes to you. I want you to put your hands with your palms up out in front of you. Just put your hands out in front of you. Your eyes are closed. You're going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to ask you to, when you feel triggered, when you feel reactive, when you feel in defense, I'm going to ask you to let your hands go to wherever you notice it most in your body right now. Just let your hands go there. Don't think about it, even if it doesn't make sense. Put your hands somewhere in your body where you feel you're most reactive, where you feel it in your body when you get most reactive. Just let your hands go somewhere on your body. And don't worry if you're right or wrong. And you can move them if where you put them first doesn't feel right. Just place them anywhere. You're allowed to be wrong. Okay. So now with your hands somewhere in your body, just take a guess. If nothing comes, just place them anywhere. Maybe where you have chronic pain or tension is where they could go if you're not sure where to put them. Okay, so now wherever your hands are in your body, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to feel the tissue. Notice the tissue that's underneath your hands. Notice the tissue that's underneath your hands. What's it like? Does it feel tight? Does it feel empty? Does it feel constricted? Does it feel dark or light? If it had a color, what color would it be? If it had a texture, what texture would it be? If it had a sound, what would the sound of that tissue be? What is that tissue holding for you? If it had an emotion, what would the emotion be that lives in that tissue? And just connect to it and let your imagination go wild, and it doesn't have to make any sense at all. Now, I want you to imagine, now all of you are on mute. So I want to invite you to do this because you're on mute and nobody else is going to hear you. I want you to imagine if that tissue had a sound and you were to fully 100% commit to making that sound, what would be the sound that would come out? So I'm going to count to three and I want you just to let that sound out. One, two, three. Just let that sound out that's in your tissue. Give it a sound, give it a tone, give it a word, whatever it wants to do or sound like or say or hum or sing. Just let that sound out. I know that might seem crazy. Just let whatever sound wants to come out, come out. And now what I'd like you to do is to stand up, bend your knees, and I want you just to shake your hands, shake your body, just shake everything out. Just shake, 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 vibrate, shake everything out, however you want to shake it. If you can't stand up for any reason, just do it sitting down. Shake your hands, shake your arms, shake your feet and legs out. Breathe, and if there's any more sound that still lives in there, just let the sound come out too. Aha, whatever that might be. Just make that sound. Let it be as weird or strange or odd as it wants to be. Ha, this is your chance to really release. So take a couple deep breaths now, and I want you just to do what I call draw your center line. Just draw your hands straight through the center of your body, an imaginary line that centers and grounds you. And go ahead and sit back down if you were standing. Keep your eyes closed, and we're going to do one last thing. I want you to take your hands and place them over your heart center. Just place them over your heart center. And take a couple of deep breaths with your eyes closed. Just feel your heart. And notice what it feels like to have your hands on your heart. Does it feel tight? Does it feel open? Does it feel hollow or empty? Does it feel full? Does it feel radiant? Does it feel longing? Does it feel lonely? Whatever is there, just tune into it and go deep in. And it might feel like you're making all this up, and that's okay. Go ahead and make it up. But somewhere in your heart, there is an inner wise woman or an inner wise man who is absolutely perfect, who is absolutely whole, who is not ill or sick in any way, who is absolutely brilliant and powerful and untouched and, in fact, eternal. This is your eternal self. Filled with love. It may be a little bit out of your reach, but it's there. He or she is there. And in fact, that liveness, that wise man, that wise woman is breathing every breath into your body, is beating every beat of your heart, is filling you with love. Even if you can't notice it, it's happening. Take just another deep breath. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. And then I would just love to hear any shares about this experience.
I feel a lot more integrated.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
I feel a lot more integrated.
Beautiful. You feel more integrated. And how is it to have the experience of feeling more integrated?
Empowering.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel grounded.
Great. So empowering, grounded, more integrated. And that was just a 5-minute exercise of working with the energy. Beautiful. Thank you, Marcia. Who else?
May I ask something?
Please.
I was thinking that doing that shaking reminds me of what I see animals do after they've been chased by a lion or whatever, you know, and gotten away. They stop and shake it off. And is that what we're doing here? And does it change us into
you? You got it, Beverly. That is exactly right. That is a trauma release. And the animals who shiver and shake go on to be very healthy. And the ones who don't oftentimes get very sickly and sometimes die. So you all just did a trauma release. So thank you for bringing that out. That's exactly right. You are releasing trauma from your history from doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? There's a lot in the chat here that I haven't had a chance to look at. So I'm wondering if there's anything in the chat or any that wants to be shared or any questions.
Kathy Shoffler's hand is raised.
And Tammy has her hand up. Tammy wanted to speak.
Okay, Tammy, go ahead.
Yeah, as we were going through this, I went back into my childhood, some issues I've had with my mother, and the need for me to be the perfect child and follow the rules. Mm-hmm. I would feel so constricted that I would actually create imaginary places where I would go in order to get away, where I didn't have to be perfect. And then when we did the exercise, my hands went to my heart and I made a whirring sound and then a moaning sound. Then we shook it up and I felt this great openness and release.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I love how you connected so many dots together from this experience. And also, you know, and there's a great example of the gift and the wound, right? You really learned how to go be creative to survive and adapt to the constriction of your environment. Good for you. Thanks for sharing that, Tammy.
Awesome. Who else did you say had their hand up, Lynn?
Kathy?
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
I got in on this a little bit late. I was trying so hard to get my little errands done and got my groceries in the house, and then I left them to put away later, and I came in on this. But I came in enough to do the exercise and proceed and take notes prior to that. And I did not expect, just having a regular Oregon rainy day, to have it be so emotional. So quickly, so tears came. I sobbed. And then when I realized I was mute, I kind of moaned and howled a little bit and let it out. But the shaking, it just, because I, when you said put your hand wherever, my two hands went to two different places. One went right to my heart and the other went to my gut. And I think in growing up, we're dealing with mother issues today, I guess, but my mother is still living and is mentally ill, has a borderline personality disorder. And that the books about it, one of the main ones is called Walking on Eggshells. And I didn't realize that tightening that I needed to do to protect myself to survive growing up has stayed with me. It's like, I don't need that anymore. Let's let that go. And to do something so deep when my mind, 20 minutes ago was on groceries and the pain. Nothing serious, nothing like, oh man, my chest is tight. I didn't think that or notice that. But boy, I sure found it quickly and had some more to let go and would love to let go. I don't need to carry it forward, even if she's alive and still toxic.
Yes, yes, so beautiful, beautiful. Wow, thank you so much for sharing all that. And I love what you said about your one hand going to your gut, the other to your heart. I mean, this is, again, right, these issues live in our tissue. And you're making that connection. So many of these health problems that you guys have named in at the start of our call are absolutely accessible to us for healing by marrying it with this connection to the energetics that live within our physiology. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, look at how much happened for you in just this short little exercise. So good for you. And I love the moaning that came out. These are sounds that have been in there buried for years and years and years. And we're so acculturated to like be appropriate and not express ourselves. And, you know, those of you who have dogs or pets at home, you know, when your dog does all those embarrassing things on the floor in the middle of the living room in front of company, you know, all those like weird old movements that just embarrass everybody. We need to be doing those things. We need to be doing those embarrassing movements. We need to discharge out of our body what it wants to do and needs to do. So thank you, Kathy, for bringing that out. All right, what else is here?
Who else wants to share?
Juicy, juicy stuff happening.
I'm having trouble unmuting, just wave and I'll unmute you.
And if anybody had trouble with it, I want to hear about that too. Okay, David, go ahead.
Lynn, will you try? I can't get them unmuted.
I got it.
You got it? Oh, good.
I had one hand go to my shoulder and another go to my ribs. And the shoulder is chronically tense and tight, pulling me into a slouched position. And my rib is a part of my body I least ever pay attention to. I do a lot of yoga and everything else, and it's just the ignored part. Mm. And so with respect to the rib, I kind of like, meh. I have a lot of trouble staying present when I'm confronted. I tend, my mind wanders, and it's like, okay, stay with this. Be present, respond to the other person. Don't actually hear what they're saying. Don't check out.
Mm-hmm.
I do have that creative side. And I'm not sure what's going on with the constricted thing.
Yeah, it's amazing how much they're connected, this leaving to this very, very early developmental stage of infancy. I don't know what happened. I'd be very curious to know, you know, what your life was like as a baby, as an infant, or your birth trauma. But that difficulty, that challenge of staying present, that can definitely be healed, right? It can definitely be improved so that it's not so hard to stay present. And I love that you're aware of that, of the desire and the need to, you know, and to stay consciously present. But it can get easier, much easier for you. And interesting that you talked about the slouching too, and then the rib shows up, right? So the challenge with the rib, and then this is the whole thing about, you know, being safe to be in the physical body. It's beautiful that you do yoga. Thank God you do yoga. Imagine if you didn't, right? So it's really helping you to be in your body. Yeah, good for you. Thanks, David.
Catherine says her mic isn't working. A relief to connect with my true self, the one I've been aware of for quite some time, but didn't know how to hold and keep in the present moment to moment.
Yeah. Great. I'm so glad you got to have that experience, Catherine. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. And I look back in the chat and the conversation, and one of the things kept coming up is, oh, I relate to that pattern. Oh, I relate to that pattern. And the question is, how do you know which pattern you're most in? Like, what's your primary pattern? Was it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, there's a book called The Five Personality Patterns.
Yeah.
And by Stephen Kessler. And we actually have a whole course in the program based on this book, and where we really teach you how to recognize when you're in pattern, what you can do about it, and how to move out of that pattern. So that's a great place to start, even just with reading that book. But it takes a little time, and, you know, this is not something that I grew up learning. You know, one part of my, high school or elementary school training, I wish it had been. So this is a really invaluable skill. I mean, it was a complete game changer for me in my life when I learned about the personality energy patterns, which I had the great fortune to learn about in healing school in my early 30s. So I've been practicing with this work now for 30 years and still find it intriguing and amazing, and how effective it is and how it addresses things that just traditional therapy is, which is really great and important. I'm a firm believer in it, but are not addressed. Most therapy does not address the energy system and the energy patterns.
Great. Thank you. I haven't read the whole book cover to cover, but I skim, you know, and there's charts in there too that you can look at, and it kind of lays out some of what Laura, you know, touched on in just a short period of time she had, but you can get a little bit closer and to what you are. And I always said to Laura when I first heard her speak this, is there a chart like we can circle and then we can calculate? And she's, oh my God, you're going right into that left brain. Like, you know, there's more feeling. You got to. And so I remember when she was first explaining it, and I did a 4-day weekend class with her where I first learned this, And so she had several hours for each of the patterns. And I'm like, oh, I'm definitely that. I'm definitely believing, you know. Oh, my God, I'm definitely that. And there was one or two that I said, oh, I'm definitely not that. But there were at least three that I said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely that. I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is learning to observe. I love the concept of the objective observer, right? Because that's your first step to change, is observing the behavior that needs to be changed, or the emotion, or just from an objective standpoint, and going, oh, there I go again. I'm going into my leaving pattern. Ah. And then when you understand the patterns and you understand, you know, the gift in it, like you go, oh, I'm grateful for that pattern because it makes me, you know, a great healer. I really hate really parts of my main pattern, which you probably all can guess which it is, but I don't like the negative parts of that. I don't like that part in myself, but I love the positive that it gives me, the ability to be a great leader. So, you know, we just have to embrace it. It's not who we are. It's the survival things we did to protect ourselves and keep ourselves safe growing up.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's really important to know that just because you do a certain pattern, it's not who you are. It's just what you learned how to do to cope with your circumstances growing up.
Yeah. And as you do that and you find that there are those negative parts that aren't serving you, and you start to be the objective observer and watch it, you can catch yourself and create a new response in the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any other questions? I'm not sure how much time we have here.
I scheduled it till 4:15, 4:30. So we have, you know.
Oh, great. Okay.
Whatever good. Time so you have.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, here's Allie. I think Allie couldn't get her mic working either.
Okay. She says,
I find it difficult to connect. I'm like so disconnected from my childhood and feelings from hard to pick. I'm 52 now, and I know most that happened. I know most that happened, but zero emotion. I do withdraw to stay safe and avoid, even when practicing healing. Past healers work so hard. I've spent thousands and don't seem to shift, even though I want to. It's like I avoid what might happen intellectually. I understand, but no connection. I live in my head. I meditate, do Reiki, psychology trained counselor, work in mental health. Now, so I'll with chronic illness, fatigue, narcolepsy, and some undiagnosed neurology disorder. Can't use mic. Okay. So I think I get it.
Yeah. So this is Marianne. This is Marianne sharing?
Allie.
Okay, Allie. Okay, Allie. I guess I can't see you either, huh? Okay. So Allie, thank you for sharing all of that. And I want to say there's definitely hope for you to find what will, you know, ways to get out of our head, you know, and it takes a certain kind of practitioner, I think, to be able to guide us out of our head. And it also takes time. It's a skill to learn how to be in touch with our feelings and how to be in touch with our body. And in some of the workshops and things that we do, we spend a lot of time actually learning the process of even being able to be in touch with what's going on in our body. So that's when we aren't reflected as children growing up, when we aren't reflected that information, crucial information, then we oftentimes disconnect from sensation, again, as a coping mechanism, but it absolutely can be learned. There are ways to learn it. And I think it just means that I would just say to you, don't give up. I'd be happy to talk to you, to do a little consultation or something with you about it. If you would like, you can contact me and we can set up a little time to talk about some things that might be helpful for you. But yeah, I would definitely say there's ways out of our head because it can be torturous. The nature of the mind is to be fickle, moody, and changeable. I mean, that's its nature. And it's not our essential self. It's not who we really are. We have an intellectual mind, but we also have a wisdom. And we have the wisdom of the heart. And the wisdom of the heart is much smarter than the intellect. You know, and we all have had that experience when we know that we're living from or speaking from, or we have a knowing that comes from our wise heart and not our intellectual mind. And so it takes a little practice to be able to distinguish those two places, territories in our physiology, but it's definitely achievable.
Awesome. Oh, your mic isn't working, but we see you, Allie. Yeah. We can't hear you. Darn it.
Maybe she can check.
Who does mouth reading? Or yeah, sorry. Yeah, you can type it again. But it's good to see you because, connecting. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful.
If you have any comment or question in response to that, Allie, go ahead and type it into the chat and then we can respond.
Yeah, I'll read it. I'll read it.
Okay.
All right. Who else? Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Hanaura. I'll unmute you. Okay, there.
I was just going to share my experience. So my hands in the beginning, first one went to my belly button, which was understandable in terms of the issues I'm working on. But I was surprised that the other one went to my throat. And I kept challenging myself and saying, throat, you're sure throat? And yet I noticed how hard it was for me to share in this group. It's very hard for me to share in groups. Mm. I can share one-on-one, but I guess I project my family and I'm going to be smushed or criticized or whatever. And I just keep it as an inner experience to share with someone sometime. And then when you asked us to make a noise, I went to my belly button and I saw a red fire around my belly button and I made a huge roar. My dog was going crazy, barking, whatever was going on. And then after this roar, there was the sound of like a little baby kitten going.
Wow. Mm.
It wasn't even crying. It was like, it felt like pre-crying or something. It felt like so young and so tender. Mm. So when you said to put our hands on our heart, mine was throbbing like crazy. Mm. Boom, 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 boom. This isn't safe. This isn't safe. This isn't safe. You know, shut down, shut down. But, you know, I stayed with it and it calmed down and it said, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to survive this. You will not die as a result of this, which is what I'm always afraid of. And I just sort of felt the wise woman in the distance sort of holding the whole experience and just nodding, yes, this will be okay, and I'll help you.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Hanaura. That's so beautiful. I love the self-talk that you used as you moved through the process for yourself, like that, you know, that yes, I am safe, it's okay. All those things that you were telling yourself, as that's a great example of using that objective observer, right? As you're in a process. So bringing the adult mind in to the young, you know, the young mind, the young part that's healing, that's in the process of healing. How beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you shared in the group. So good for you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
Sarah.
Hi. One of my hands went to my throat or my neck and the other one went to my shoulder where I carry a lot of pain often. So that was really interesting in the first sound I made, I mean, I screamed. My husband came flying into the room. And then the second one, I roared like a lion. But the thing I find the most interesting is this connection to the inner wise self. It's hard to describe how I feel now. I feel neutral, very present, very aware, very grounded, and also able to defend myself.
Fantastic.
So it's not like a sensation of, you know, bliss and happiness at all. It's just very neutral, I guess.
Wow. Not
in a bad way at all.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that sounds so important. You know, neutral and able to defend yourself and really present and really grounded. I mean, you know, the thing about having like some spiritual blissful high is that we come down from that. You know, and I love that you're in this really centered, grounded, neutral space that's so important for navigating life in this world. And I love the gutsiness that you, of the sounds that you made. So good for you. And look what it brought you. Your willingness to do that, to follow what your body spontaneously wanted to do, brought you the reaped these benefits that you're having right now. So thank you for sharing that, Sarah.
Good for you. Thank you.
That's so rich sharing, everybody. I'm just really moved by all of what you're talking about here, what happened in such a brief time. Good for you.
So let's see. I'm looking to see. I think Allie said, next time she'll use her laptop, find mind closes and can't focus. But for others, I'm a trained healer and I and all clients love my work and heal. And I don't. And, you know, it's really hard to be your own healer.
Well said, Rita Marie. That's really true.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll process your feedback, get back to you. I'd love to take you up on your offer to talk more. Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'll put up my contact information here. Oops. What did I do? Let me get out of there. Yeah. I'll put up my contact information in the chat so you guys can.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Contact me if you have questions or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, when we're dealing with these emotional things, it's one thing to be your own healer. If you're like, oh, I read about insulin resistance and I'm going to try this diet. Not always easy because of the emotional and all the other habits, but it's easy to do some of the physical things. Okay. I'm going to start a walking program. I'm going to start an exercise program. But when it comes to these emotions that our whole psyche is spending its every waking moment trying to protect you from, how can you be objective party that digs in? Like when Laura works with someone, and I've been in lots of classes with her where we learn this way of listening in such a way that it helps a person to come out and uncover a lot of the stuff that you wouldn't uncover yourself. There's no way you can uncover it yourself, but in that presence of someone else who's doing this beautiful, active job of really listening and seeing you, there's this stuff that just naturally starts to flow.
Yeah, we use a lot of experiential learning, what I call experiential learning. And this is what makes it happen so quickly. So it's kind of like the exercises you all just did. Some very profound insights come because you have an inner wise man and an inner wise woman inside yourself. So we're tapping into that and learning through experience. It's experience that teaches the mind, not the other way around, most effectively, I have found. And so that's what the classes are all about. We use experiential learning to move the energy so that you can have these ahas and begin to fill in some of the missing pieces that you didn't have growing up. So we create our own family. What I love about you, Rita Marie, and the work that you do is you create community, you create a tribe, you create a functional family that we didn't have most
we
of
didn't have, right?
Right. So now you have a family, you have a safe family. You know, Hanaora, you got to share in front of a safe family. Nothing bad happened as a result. And this is really important for all of us. Many of us had the experiences like Hanaora talked about, you know, wasn't safe to express yourself or share, or your heart might be beating, or you might be a really shy person because it wasn't safe. And so we are creating the new neurological pathways by creating community, by creating a functional family to begin to have some of the experiences that we didn't have growing up. And then those begin to integrate and become we become a more individuated, whole adult person where we can go out and live up to the potential that we know we have, whether it's the potential to have better health, physical health, whether it's the potential professionally to have achieve the professional goals that we want, to have the relationship depth and intimacy that we want. We're more equipped to then, you know, do those things that we have a longing to do in our life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I just wanted to share, you know, you've learned a lot today, and some of it might have really touched a core for you. For some of you, it might have just been that aha moment that you needed to move through something and you can move past it. For some of you, it may have unlocked some things that, you know, you need to work on. So from next steps perspectives, if those patterns really call to you, there's a lot in that book. And even if you're not going to read the whole book, just that book can be very helpful. I know we're in overwhelm mode a lot of the time with too much information. You can, you know, reach out to Laura and, you know, set up some sessions with Laura. We have some practitioners in our program, in our community, who've been trained with Laura. And, you know, we can reach out to Lynn and she can share with you how to get hooked up with one of those practitioners. And then I don't know if it would be appropriate, that class that you're doing on the 6th or the 8th, when is it, the 8th of?
Yeah, it would absolutely be, they would be fine to participate in that if there's interest. It's on the 6th of April. It's a Saturday. It's called Create an Energy Connection. And it's a 4-hour webinar, and it's a really terrific opportunity to go deeper into the work.
Laura?
So, Laura? Yeah.
It's the 7th of April, Sunday. I registered and it showed up as 7th. Is it 7th or Sunday?
No, it's a Saturday.
Saturday. So it should be the 6th. Sorry. Okay, so the email needs to be, somebody missed that in proofing. Okay.
The email may have said the 6th, but when I registered just now, it said the 7th.
Okay.
Information.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's the 6th for sure. Saturday 10 to 2. So thanks
did
for that.
Did that email go out? Huh. I thought it was supposed to wait for me to proof it. Okay, good. I'm glad that it did. Oops. So you guys didn't probably get that email because it was sent to the practitioners. It was just sent to like a small group of our practitioners, you know, who've done our practitioner trainings. But we can certainly send that out. You got it because you came to Shine. So if you came to Shine or the Shine live stream, you were listed as one of our practitioners. But I'll be happy to send that out to you guys if you're interested and you want to participate in 4 hours of just interactive work with Laura. It's really.
Yeah, I think it's live on the createenergyconnection.com. If you go to createenergyconnection.com, I think you can pull it up.
Createenergyconnection.com. That's hooked up to the new dates and all?
It should be.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, like I said, I think the horse got out of the barn a little soon because I was supposed to check it and make sure all the pieces and especially the dates and all. But that's okay. We'll make sure. I got the email, but I don't recall the date. Okay. Yeah, you would have gotten it, Janine, because you're an NEPT and we sent it to NEPTers. Yeah, and you got it anyway, Janine, because you got it as a bonus for the other class that you signed, the trauma class that you signed up for. So, yeah. Oh, and then there's the trauma that Kimberly's doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want to get it for free, then you can. If you're interested in Kimberly's energy physiology of trauma, then, oh, no, that's bonus is over, I think. Oops.
No, but we said we were going to add it back. So we'll add it back for these guys.
Okay, great.
I'll just figure it out and send it out and let you know. And then, Marcia, if you paid the full price for the energy connection, we'll get
you. Thank you. What's,
are you paid zero? Oh, okay, good, good.
Okay. Great. Yeah, because this is a bonus right now. Beautiful. I'd love to have all of you there. It would be terrific for you, and it would be, you know, even though it's to help practitioners, it's actually to help anybody in any kind of relationship. So you'll find that this will be really useful for you.
I'll just send you out an email, a follow-up, like what are your options after this book, you know, just continuing to do this discharge thing. If you felt like that was helpful, like that kind of practice on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
And then being aware, like learning to be that that objective observer and go, oh, there I go again. Oh, that's not me. There's nothing wrong with me. That's just a defense pattern I developed as a small child to protect myself. What can I do? It's get into your breathing, do your heart math. There's things like that. But, you know, if it's something that's been locked there for a long time, it's definitely worth exploring, you know, getting the work around it. And I'm glad you're doing the classes, Janine, because given all the stuff that you've been through, I think it's going to be really helpful for you. Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Well, thank you, everybody. It was so touching for me to be with all of you and to hear what you're struggling with and to hear the support you're getting from Rita Marie and from each other through just sharing about it. I would love to continue to support your journey in whatever way I can, and I'm sure we'll see each other again.
Yeah, and we have a call, I think, next week. Our integration calls next week. I think it's the 3rd of April. So I'll see you all next week. Hopefully you all had your really cool calls with Lynn. How did those calls go? Yes? Thumbs up? The calls with Lynn last week? Was she awesome? Yeah? Okay, cool. Yay. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. You didn't have that, Sarah, because you're an ERC. You have your ERC coach. Yes. Anyway, bye, everybody. I'm going to unmute you all so you could just hear each other's voices and say goodbye.
Anyway,
bye, everybody.
For me, though, I'm not going to. I'm going to send her my card.